I'm Risha, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Risha.
All I can do is really share my experience with steps 1, 2, and 3. This isn't my first time around. When I first tried to get clean, I didn't work these steps. I thought I did, but I didn't work these steps. I came in and I did what I wanted to do. I didn't take any suggestions. I did get a home group. I got a sponsor. I got a sponsor who co-signed everything that I did, and I just didn't take any suggestions. And you know, I looked at all the differences. I didn't look at any of the similarities. I thought that I was different because I didn't go to treatment. I didn't go to jail. I didn't use every day. And by not taking any suggestions and not applying these steps to my life, I ended up going back out. And all those yets that, like, I didn't do when I came in the first time, when I went back out, I did. Like, I did. It got bad. And, you know, I think I needed that to happen for me to fully work a program and, you know, grasp the concept of the 12 steps and this fellowship. And when I came back this time, I was willing to do whatever it took to stay clean. Step one for me when I came in this time was basically surrendering every day, coming to a meeting every day, getting a sponsor who... I switched sponsors when I came back, and I got someone who was tough and who pretty much told me what to do, and I was to the point where I was willing to do whatever it took to stay clean. And I took all the suggestions that I was given. I surrounded myself with women. I reached out to people. I went to meetings. I got a home group that I faithfully went to. That was basically how I utilized step one. You know, I just I did what I was told to do, and no matter what, I just didn't take anything one day at a time. And I saw my life starting to get better, you know, by just taking the simple suggestions. And I didn't struggle with the first three steps. I didn't struggle at all whenever I came in, because I think I was just so willing. And I had seen, like, my predecessors. I had seen how good their lives had gotten, and I wanted that. And all they told me to do was just keep coming back and don't take anything. And, you know, each day I just tried to do the next right thing, and, like, slowly things started getting better. Like, I started gaining trust back. I got a new job, like, a job that I'm currently at now. Like, this is probably the longest I've ever held a job down, the same job. And, you know, the unmanageability in my life was pretty apparent whenever I came to the room. So step two for me was basically just, like, kind of having faith that things were going to get better, and by doing what I was told to do, that all started to happen. And I did have faith. I had faith in God. Like, my higher power is God, always was God. So, like, I know a lot of people struggle with step three. I know for me, I didn't, because I had always had that faith in God. And I knew that by doing what I was suggested to do, and doing the right thing, that if I just kept doing that, my life would get better. And I mean, it took a while, but, like, things started to get better, you know. I built relationships. I don't know. I mean, life got better. And I remember whenever I was working step three, I knew I was working it because, like, I always like to self-will everything, and I remember just sitting back and in, like, whatever situation it was. Like, when I first came in, I had gone to court over my son. His dad took me for custody, and I remember, like, wanting to interfere with that so bad and wanting to do whatever I could so that the outcome would be in my favor. And so, like, I guess I can say that, like, when I came in before, I did grasp a little bit, I mean, obviously, but I remember, like, not doing anything. Like, the sponsor that I had then told me, she said, just sit still and see what happens, you know? And, like, that was one of the hardest things for me to do, but I just did everything I was supposed to do. Like, I didn't pick up for that amount of time so I could pass a drug test whenever I went to court. I didn't have to take a drug test, but I thought I was going to. And, like, I passed, I gave myself a drug test that, like, I think I had, like, 26 days clean or something, and I used to smoke a lot of pot, and I was really nervous that it would still be in my system, and it wasn't. And, like, whenever I went to court, like, I didn't even have to take a drug test, but I remember not doing anything and just not picking up, and things ended up working out. And, like, I kind of at that point grasped the concept of, like, you know, God's will, not mine. And I still apply that to my life. Like, I still use steps 1, 2, and 3. I utilize them daily, you know. I mean, now it's a little bit different. Like, I struggle sometimes with being powerless over other people, you know. I can't change them. I can just change me and continue to try to be a better person every day. But, like, step three, I just have faith that no matter what the situation is, as long as I don't get high, everything's going to be okay, you know. I keep it as simple as I possibly can, because when I came in before, I complicated everything, and I read way into it. I read way too much into it, and like, this time, I just did what I was told to do, and I kept it as simple as I possibly could. You know, I didn't pick up. I went to a meeting. I called my sponsor. I've gone through a couple of sponsors since then, but, like, I do what is best for me and my recovery, and I just try to do the next right thing, you know, and I mean, basically that's really all I can say. I'm Risha, and I'm an addict.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Phil from the Need America Group of NA in the North Pittsburgh area.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, guys. I'm Phil, an addict.
Hey, Phil.
I need a favor from everybody. I know we already opened this meeting with the Serenity Prayer, but I need your help with something, and I'll tell you why after we do it. Just we have a moment of silence, and during that moment of silence, just please invite whatever power you believe keeps you clean. Just here with us right now to work through me. We'll do that moment of silence, and then we'll do the third step prayer. That's cool with everybody. God, take my will and my life. Guide me in my recovery. Show me how to live. I'm going to stand up. I'm not as relaxed as Risha was apparently, because I'm, like, nervous. If I sit there, I'm going to be like, you know. I'm nervous. I just want to thank the programming committee for asking me to share. I feel like I was part of a package deal, though, because they asked my girlfriend to speak last night, and I think they just kind of threw me in with her, you know what I mean? And which is fine. You know, right now, like, I asked you guys to do that with me because when I got here, I didn't have much of an understanding of any type of God, and, like, all I understood really was a good orderly direction people have been giving me for some years, because I had been coming for about 4 years before I got the clean that I have now. And So I love to do that. Every time I speak at a Narcotics meeting, a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, or a workshop, like, I ask for people to do that. Because it's when I started asking for people to show me how they work with their higher power, that's when I started getting better. I need a lot of help with that. Usually at this point is when I would thank God for His grace and mercy for allowing me to be here. But I'm going to be honest right now. Where I'm at just for today is I don't know where that grace comes from exactly right now. I did for a long time believe it was God's grace and mercy for allowing me to be here. But right now, like I said, I don't know if that's where it comes from. I definitely have a God, my understanding. And I definitely believe I'm here because of grace. Deserving, earning, needing to be here has nothing to do with it. And I hear people say that all the time. I earned my seat here, and it makes me sad because I think of all the people I know who had horrible lives their whole lives growing up, used, like, used, you know what I mean? Really went to the bitter ends and, like, were shown His program and, like, died, you know what I mean? And not natural causes, and not with people they love around them, and, like, they earned it, and they deserved it, and they're not here, and I am, and, like, I'm an egomaniac, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I don't know about anybody else in Narcotics Anonymous, but when they asked me to speak on the first three steps, I was, you know, this part of me that's evil, like, just nasty, and this disease thinking was like, man, why do I get 1, 2, 3, like, I've been clean this long, like, I've been through the steps, you know, and I do this, and I practice principles all the time, and blah, 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 and, like, and honestly, I got asked, because this is where I've been lately, man, like, I've been holding on for dear life and really evaluating my, like, belief system, and what's been happening is, like, the full weight of what happens to us and what happened to me using and what happens to the people I've known, come to know, and, like, love and Narcotics Anonymous has, like, really been hitting me lately, and it's been painful. Like, my clean date is August 27, 2007, and, so, I mean, I knew when I got here, like, the first step in the basic text says, like, sometimes all we can see is the unmanageable in our lives. Like, I knew when I first showed up, like, I was 20, like, felony charge, kicked out of my house, kicked out of the last place I was allowed to stay, like, couldn't leave the rehab without going to jail, and, like, just has been using, like, long beyond the point I wanted to stop using for a long time. And so I knew it, and I knew when I came back here this time, but, like just over the last couple months, like, emotionally feeling what I did to myself and what the people I love did to themselves, like, has really been, like, weighing on me. And I don't know, man, like, I like Risha, how she kept it real simple, you know, like, I had a friend slash sponsee brother slash, I guess I was his last NA sponsor now, like, he spoke at this workshop, at this retreat, and, like, he had notes, and he's, like, this deep thinker, man, he always complicated everything, you know, and, like, I'm good friends with his sponsor, and he's, like, he did so good, you gotta hear the tape, and, like, I listened to it for a couple minutes, and I heard he had the notes, and I heard how he was talking, and, like, I shut it off, because I just didn't want to hear anymore, and, I guess there came a point in time where he didn't have his notes and he ended up using. He must have forgot his notes at home. And he's okay right now. I guess, okay. He just overthinks it too much, you know? And but he was a fun kid. It's a person I miss having around at NA meetings. And I'm not, like, knocking him. I mean, this is a conversation I have with him all the time. I was like, dude, you need to keep it more simple, you know? And, like, I don't know, man, like, I get real excited thinking about retreats, and like, even lately, just, I've been feeling the gratitude in the meetings, like, as much pain as I was, and, man, I just hurt for a long time, like, it's been on and off, but for the better part of 2 months, I've been just really hurting because of what happened during addiction, and, like, you know, despite all that, like, the love and the gratitude I feel, like, in meetings at this retreat is just, like, so huge because I really understand what we came out of, you know what I mean? Like, sitting around a campfire, just looking at you guys now, like, you know, I'm going to guess that, like, no one OD'd last night here. And, like, if they did OD, like, no one in the camp would hesitate to call the ambulance. They're not going to search through their pockets and just leave them there, you know, or drop them off at a hospital. Like, We have a picture of my one friend, like, after someone picked him up at the hospital after another using addict dropped him off there and just left him. And, like, my recovering addict friend went and picked him up. And we always make fun of him because he didn't have a shirt anymore. So, Matt, we had to cut your shirt off. That's why you didn't have a shirt, remember? And, you know, I'm going to guess that, like, no one had to rob their families to get here or, like, betray their friends if they had any left to be at this retreat. You know, no one got, like, beat up or raped because they couldn't defend themselves last night here, probably. You know what I mean? No one probably prostituted themselves just to, like, get something to deal with the pain for the fact that they were prostituting themselves. And to do it again the next day and the next day. And, like, I feel that and I see that when I look at new people. I see, like, there's the obvious, like, we come in, like, jobless, penniless, maybe homeless. We're in the three-quarter house, we're in a mission, whatever. Like, those are the obvious scars. But, like, I've been really getting in touch with, like, seeing the internal scars that people carry. Like, the pain in the eyes, you know what I mean? You know, like, with various sponsees, like, you know, talking about, just for an example, like, new girls, like, leaving, like new girls alone, you know what I mean? And this is for the guys, because that's what I know. Like, I throw a support group with guys, and, like, you know, just explaining to them, like, look, when I look at, like, someone just walking in, like, I don't see, like, this pretty little thing. Like, I know what happened in addiction. You know what I mean? I see that pain in people's eyes. And, I mean, it goes for guys, too. Like, and that's, like, what I see. And, like, thank God, because I never, like, 13-stepped anybody because of that. And, like, you know what I mean? I missed a lot of fun, apparently, when I first got clean, because everyone else was having that fun. But not me, because I was acutely aware of that. You know, and, like, if all that's depressing, what I was just talking about, I'm sorry. I know Saturday is the fun day, the good day of the retreat, and sorry to be the Debbie Downer, but first step leaves a vacuum in our lives, right? We need to find something to fill that void, and, like, and that's what I've been working on, and, like, Second Step says it's important to be honest about what we believe, man. And, like, I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, when I got here, like I said, I was 20, and my head was so far up my ass, it was ridiculous. I had no idea what I was up against. None, whatsoever. Like, I read the steps on the wall in rehab. I heard my first, you know, message of Narcotics Anonymous through H&I, and I finally felt like I fit somewhere. But, like, I didn't have a sponsor yet. I didn't read the literature. Like, all I had was that rehab stuff from my first rehab going on in my head. And, like, I didn't realize the whole time I was building these reservations, you know. Like, in the first step, we surrender to the drugs. And when we surrender to the fact that we can't control our use of drugs, and we surrender to the fact that our lives are unmanageable, right? And then there's that second surrender that we have to surrender to recovery and go all in. And, like, I didn't get that second part, you know what I mean? And I didn't even get the first part because I was sitting in rehab. I'm 20, I'm like, you tell me I can never go to the bar with my dad and get a drink when I turn 21, which is all I wanted to do. And, like, that's hilarious now because, like, I know my dad did not give a crap about me going to the bar with him to get a beer. Like, my dad doesn't even go to the bar, and he just wanted me to be clean. But that was running through my head, and I was like, well, all my friends, like, you tell me I can't smoke weed and, like, chill with my friends anymore? Like, that's what my whole life was. Like, my whole life, my whole identity was using drugs. Like, it didn't matter what drug it was. I just wanted to be that dude in high school. I wanted everyone to look at me and be like, he'll get you some drugs, you know. I love, like, a dude in the Breakfast Club. That's who I wanted to be. And, like, what a horrible role model to have. And, like, you know, I was slowly building all these reservations. I had no idea. I had no idea what I was up against. And, like, but the whole time I was like, yeah, I'm going to do good. And everyone's like, you got your whole life ahead of you. Young buck, you're gonna do good. And, like, I went to my first ever outside Narcotics Anonymous meeting. They drove us there in a druggy buggy from the rehab, and, like, big meeting, lots of clean time, and a lot of the power of the program was there. And but it's funny, like, I didn't really understand what obsession was. I understood up until that point, like, every day when I went to sleep, I said, God, please kill me. I don't want to live like this anymore. I just don't want to use anymore. I'm not going to use tomorrow. I'm not going to use tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be different. And, like, I'd wake up and, like, have to use, and like there'd be no more of that argument in my head. It was just get what I have to get and do it now. And like I understood that, you know what I mean? But I've been clean, so I thought I'd be good. Like I was as physically clean as I was gonna get. And like we went to this outside meeting, all these recovering addicts, laughing, enjoying life without the use of drugs, and like I see one person, and it was my running buddy, and like you know, I got like arrested for burglary, and the reason I was the number one suspect is because he was already in jail, and like that's just how we were. Like, and I saw him, and he was high, and like as soon as I saw it, a switch went, and that fixed idea, and like all I could think about was, does he have more? Does he have more? And then when I found out he had more, it was, will he give me some? Will he give me some? And like, look, I never stopped to think, like, I didn't have a place to go if I got kicked out of rehab. I didn't stop to think that, like, the judge said, I'm going to jail. Like, the magistrate said, I'm going to jail if I leave rehab. None of that ever crossed my mind. All it was that fixed idea. I got to get it. I got to get it. I got to get it. And, like, I didn't say anything to anybody. You know, I don't remember things from my first NA meeting because I was, like, out of it. Like, I just don't remember because I was so fixated on using. That's all I could think about. And, like, I used. And we went back in the druggy buggy to the rehab, and like I told everyone that like this kid offered me drugs, and I said no, and I'm doing so good. And like it's hard to tell a bunch of people in rehab that you're not high when you're high, because they know. And I mean, that's what I think of now in powerlessness. Like in and of myself, I can't think my way out of using. Like the longer I stay clean and the more entrenched I am in this program, like I can play the tape better, I can rely on prayer more. But if I disconnect from the program, eventually I'll think my way back into using. And that's what I try to tell like people I sponsor and I share at meetings when I talk about the first step, is like in and of myself, my thinking is broken. I don't, you know, the disease concept, whatever anybody believes about that, like whether I was born this way or I became this way, like I really don't care anymore. I just am this way. And I know that. And like I don't want to keep that in myself. My thinking by default leads me back to using. And you know, like it was rough, man. I tried everything after that. That was when I was 20, and then the next 4 years were in and out of meetings and a couple rehabs, a psych ward, you know, halfway house or two. And you know, my first halfway house, all my friends had less than 6 months clean. They were all dudes in the house. And surprise, surprise, we all got high. And it was tough, man. Just fighting. I wanted to surrender. I had to figure out a way to make it work, you know what I mean? I believe in the first step. It says, I'm powerless over my addiction, the whole shebang. I have messed up reactions to things that, like, messed up feelings that don't coincide with the situation just come out. That's how I react, you know? And, like, I tried everything. I was like, maybe just these chemicals, maybe just these chemicals. This chemical is my problem, so I'm going to get on a maintenance program. And like, when I was on a maintenance program, I was on 2.5 years, and I said that was the worst thing that ever happened in my life. Once I got clean, I realized it was the best thing that ever happened in my life. Because any question I had about whether it was just one chemical went out the window. Because if it was just one chemical, I would have been okay with the maintenance program. And like, I was not okay. And man, I hated my life. I just walked around, and you know, when I was 20, I resigned to the fact I was going to die using. And like, to spend 4 years just straight convinced I was going to die using, and there was nothing I could do about it, it's depressing. You know, I know we've all been there. Like, who cares like what we used or where we used or like what we, you know, went through physically, situationally using. Like, we all know that feeling, that despair, you know? Like, and so I just couldn't take it anymore. And like, you know, I love in the second step how it says, like, the process of coming to believe restores us to sanity. And like, some things it tells us to do in the second step is, like, go to meetings regularly. Get a sponsor. That, you know, asking a sponsor works out with us is a great demonstration of sanity, you know? And like, watch people pick up key tags. And like, when I saw Jeff walk down, I got real excited because, like, I remember him being newer and, like, just watching him grow. And, like, he's always so happy, and I want to be like him someday. And, just always be that happy. And, but I did this, and even though I kept using, like, an addict does when we don't, like, completely surrender. People in the rooms, like, took time with me, and they sat me down, and, like, I'd be a mess. I'd go to these two afternoon meetings and be a mess, and, like, they didn't, like, shun me. They'd be like, hey, Phil, come here, come get a cup of coffee, come sit with me. And they just tell me over and over again, they're like, you don't have to use. You don't have to use. Get stopped. And once you stop, you don't have to use anymore. And like, the thing I didn't understand, and like, there's a lot of things I don't understand about recovery, but like, I hear people say that the first step gives them a lot of hope. And like, I had no hope. Because like, when I realized my life was unmanageable as it was, and like, I was powerless, like, that was not a good feeling. Like, the day, like, a couple of days before I went to rehab this time and it finally clicked what it meant to be powerless, like, it was not a good feeling. Because, like, I knew I couldn't use anymore. I knew I had to stay clean. But on the other hand, like, I knew I had no idea how to stay clean. And, like, I had failed so many times. But all these people in the meetings, like, had kept faith in me. And, like, they told me to keep coming and keep coming. And, like, the more I came around and the more I started taking suggestions, like, my life got better. And like I said, the process of coming to believe, doing all those things, coming to meetings, working with a sponsor, like sharing at meetings, calling my sponsor every day, praying, like all these things helped me to heal and restore me to sanity. You know what I mean? And that's why it says, I think that, you know, we can use this power long before we understand it, man. Because I didn't know what was happening. I was just so broken and beat down to the point that I was going to just do what I had to do. And by doing that, like, I got better. You know, and like, the third step, like, I'm going to talk about one of my pet peeves real quick. Like, you know, we're in meetings, and I hear all the time, like, the third step's brought up, and all these people are like, just trying to do God's will, and like, that's what this step is about, doing God's will. And like, I think to myself, man, there's a step for that, you know, and it's the 11th step. And it talks about that in the third step, that like, that's the 11th step's job. And the third step is like the beginning of that process. You know what I mean? Like, like, literally, my first time I made a third step decision, because that's what that step is. It says it's a decision that implies action, but it's a decision, and one we can't make often enough. Like, when I woke up on the day to go to rehab this time, like, I woke up crying, like, on the floor of this nasty apartment. And it's crazy because it's on Fifth Avenue in Shadyside, and it looks great from the outside, but when three addicts are inside it, like, it smelled like cat feces and cat urine, and there was bugs everywhere. And like, I was on this nasty futon mattress with my girlfriend at the time, like, on the floor, just disgusting. And like, I woke up crying because like, I knew it was over, like, and I was so scared to be clean. I was so scared to do this thing, and like, I was scared my girlfriend wasn't going to stay clean. We're going to have to break up, because of course she was my world and the most important thing to me. Of course she was, you know. And like, when you're an addict and the person that helps maintain your addiction, you know, is there, they're usually the most important person in your life. And I was crying, man, and I hurt so bad, and I was so scared. And I just remember thinking, like, I'm going to let the people that have always done nothing but try to help me stay clean help me. I'm going to let the help help me. I'm going to stop dictating what the help should be for me. And like, in the most purest, rawest form, that's what that third step is. You know what I mean? Because like, man, I had some whack ideas of God, and like, I understood good orderly direction. And that's all these people in Narcotics Anonymous ever gave to me, man. No one ever tried to hurt me when it came to my recovery. And like, and that's like what I did. And like, dude, that was less than a day clean. Like, I really worked this. You know, my process, like, I get it, started when I first stepped into Narcotics Anonymous. Because like, I collected all the things for the beginning of my second step over the time. Like, I was not clean. You know what I mean? I was missing the most important part of the first step, but like, I was collecting that evidence, you know? I saw it in other people's lives to the point where I had to hope, because I was going to kill myself. I had to hope that it could work for me. And I had to have faith. And like, the second step's about that faith, because it's, there was no evidence in my life. I hadn't seen work in my life, but I'd seen work in other people's lives. So I don't have that evidence, but I have to act on it. So that's what I did. And like, you know, like, and every day, man, like, it's tough, dude. My thinking when I got clean was so against me. You know, I was going to do 21 days in a rehab, come home, save my girlfriend. We're going to stay clean forever. It was going to be great. And that's how I went to rehab, and then it turned into, oh, well, I should probably do 28 days. And then it was like, oh, I should probably do IOP or something. And then I was like, oh, I probably should have moved back to Pittsburgh. And like, the more open-minded I was, the more willing I was to take suggestions, the more honest I got with myself. And it's funny, because like when I got in and did the intakes, it's funny, like three different people doing the intake questions got three different answers about what had happened to me. You know what I mean? Like the female that made me feel comfortable, like heard about like some of the sexual abuse and some of the things I've been through, my addiction with that I wasn't proud of. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, think I'm some strong ass, big ass man. You know what I mean? Like she got to hear it, but like the guy asked me questions. I was like, nope, never happened. Nope. And but the more I practice being honest, like, the better my decision-making became with the help of others. And I went to a halfway house, and some things stuck out with me. Like, you know, when my first day off anything for a long time, like, and I had this discussion with a tech that was in recovery. I said, should my clean date be the day I came in or the day they stopped giving me the detox med? Because the detox med I'd already been on for 2.5 years. What they use at this place I've been on for 2.5 years. And, he said, whatever you want to do. And like, I chose the date. That was my first date without anything. And I was so glad I was 4.5 hours away from home and no one cared enough. Or no one could be tricked into coming to get me. And the people that did care about me cared enough about me to not come get me. And like, because I hurt, man. Like, you know, people were at this place and after 7 days, they're all running around the units and they're on the co-ed units and everyone's chasing girls and chasing guys and like having fun. And I'm just like, twitching. It was August, like up in the woods, just so hot and nasty. And I just remember thinking to myself, no matter what happens today, I'm not going to use, no matter what. And that is the most important decision I've ever made for my recovery. And I make it every day since then. And like, when all hell's failed, that's all I have, man. And like, and, Third Step talks about it being willingness to like proceed in our recovery, and like that's what I try to do in the rehab. I got some therapy, this certain kind of therapy, and it's kind of an outside thing, but it started with a Third Step decision that I was going to approach something in my past that always led me back to using. And like I did it, and dude, it was rough because it involves recalling like the most vivid, painful part of the memory. And like, and like, I'm outside the unit, and I was on the guys' unit, and I'm outside there crying. Everybody's in group. I'm like, I hope they don't see me crying right now. And like, it's hurting so much. And I just remember thinking, like, God, I don't know. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But I need to do this. I'm just going to trust you. And please just help me. And like, I didn't get a burning bush. I didn't get the bright light. But like, I just felt this ease come over me. And I remember this, like I said, I was in this woods, and this little monarch butterfly came like flying and like sat right next to me. And I was like, ooh. And and it's funny because there was like 2-3 times since I've been clean, and it hasn't happened lately, but when I really needed it, like I'd pray, and like through the monarch butterfly would come and just like fly by. And like the one time is when I was working in the scrapyard, and like I didn't know butterflies like to hang out with like pieces of aluminum on the ground, but there he was. And just knowing I'm in the care of, and like you know, like I've had to do that over and over. Like that girlfriend I was gonna save, and I took all these like codependent classes, anger management, like conflict resolution, all in my mind to get better with dealing with my girlfriend. Like she used within a month of me coming home, and like I was literally stuck for 3 days trying to decide, like, should I stay in the house with her? And like these people like that I just met were like, no, come to this three-quarter house, we'll get you in for free, come on. And I was like, gee, I don't know what to do. And like my sponsor was out of town. I was so mad that he was out of town. I was talking to him every day on the phone because I wanted him to make the decision for me. And like one of the biggest things about the Third Step is like we make the decision for ourselves. It's not the judges, our parents, spouses, probation officer, anything. Like we make it for ourselves. And like he wanted to make this decision for me. I was like, you're a punk, come on. And eventually at some point, like I started, because I was on my Third Step at the time, and I was like, well, you know, we had the same conversation. What are you going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, what about this third step? And I started asking him. He's like, whoa. He's like, your girlfriend's using. You know what happens every time she uses, you use. And you want to ask me about the third step? Mm-hmm. He's like, maybe you should look at that second step again and make a decision and stick with it. And like that phrase, make a decision, like rang that bell in me. I was like, oh, yeah. Good old direction. People have done nothing but try to take care of me. Like, I got to do it. And I moved into a three-quarter house. Like, just came back to Pittsburgh. Like, just started working the week I moved in a three-quarter house. Like, had money for the bus for like a week or something. Moved in with three garbage bags full of clothes. My sponsor had to buy me toothpaste. I was in this room, and me and my buddy always joke about it because it's the first room everyone goes in a three-quarter house because it's a three-man, and this dude just stayed in that room and farted all night, and it's stinky, and it's freezing. I'm by the window because no one wants that bed, and like, I was like, what did I do with my life? And my girlfriend's right down the hill, and it turned out to be one of the best things I ever did for myself. That girl that I was going to save, I couldn't let her go, man, and like, she died with a needle in her arm. Mm. Some poor kid, with probably 30, 60 days clean that she had shacked up with, contacted me on Facebook, never met the man in my life. He took a guess by looking at her list of friends and having heard her talk about me, like who I was. So that was a shock. That was February 2nd, I think, a few years back, and, you know, and she's one of the main people I think about when I talk about deserving and needing to be here, and it's not about that all the time. And because a week before that, I sat with that girl in a car, and she begged me to tell her how to stay clean. Begged me. With a little son in her house. Oh. And I watched her go from recreational user to addict, and a big reason everyone makes their own decisions. But I couldn't sit here and lie to you or hide this truth that like she was better at getting money than me, so I wanted her to become addicted to opiates so she could help me get high. So I helped that process. She made her own decisions, but I helped it. And like that was with some years clean, and that's when I really had to revisit the second step. We cannot just pass over it with a minimum of concern. Just because we have a belief maybe when we get here, we just can't roll over it because it's going to have to come back again. Because the God of my understanding did not work in that time. At that time in my life, the God of my understanding had been borrowed from my father and from my sponsor, the two men I respect most in my life. And like, I just couldn't see it because I'm human and I'm short-sighted and I was in pain and I was in angry. And I hated every person that came into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting complaining about how bad it was and recovery's stupid and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I hurt so bad. And, like, I really had to go back into searching what I believe works for me and what's going to maintain me and help me restore my sanity. When I go over second steps with people or when I talk about it in meetings, like, I say, like, the version of sanity that we look at in that second step is going to change the longer we stay clean. And we have to be open to that. When I got here, I wanted to not keep using every day. I wanted to not keep destroying my life, okay? And as I've gone on, like, versus insanity, or like, I'm in a very committed relationship with, like, she has a son, and, like, I'm trying to be, like, in that role, so, like, I can't be around the insanity of, like, the guys I know that, like, sleep with 8 million women a week, you know what I mean? Because it's just, like, my brain's like, that sounds like a good idea. And, I like that. Or, like, gambling, or whatever it is, like, I need to be restored to sanity and, like, staying open to that. So, like, I worked on that and, like, totally reworked that. And, like, at that point, I've been through all 12 steps. So the 11th step came into a big part of that. But it all started with admitting that I was powerless. Like, she was talking about being powerless over people. You know what I mean? You know, like, I can always, and I tell this to people, too, like, really I'm powerless over using drugs and, like, people's decisions, but, like, I can always enact power, it's just not going to be good power, you know what I mean? Like, I hate my job, I'm powerless. Like, no, you're not, you could quit, or you could punch your boss in the face, like, that's enacting power, but maybe not the best idea. And, like, I pushed through that, and I made it. And it's funny, because, like, I wrote right? And I wrote over like probably 3 months, I dated each writing about my relationship with God. And the more I committed to the base level, like first three steps, I showed up to meetings, even though I hurt, like as crazy as my thinking was, I'd tell them my thinking, I'd share it with people, I'd tell them myself, I'd be honest with myself about what I believe, what I'm feeling, and like I'd take all that and turn it over. Not like so much with this relationship with God, but like this relationship with you guys. I did that with you people, and like it's funny, like I focused on that stuff and I got better. I made it through clean, and like I was reading that this morning, the third step, like trying to cram, like we had a quiz or something. And we're talking about, believe me, for like the last month, I was like, I'm going to read all three steps again. Just refresh, it'll be good, you know what I mean? No one's gone over the third step that I've sponsored lately, so let's just refresh. Trying to cram it in, it talks about like the more we live this step, like it just helps us to get through painful situations clean, and like I made it through, and like that third step is a commitment to spiritual principles, spiritual living. Like at one point, like when I was in rehab, I guess this guy in meetings had stolen, kind of decided he was gonna steal that girl from me, and like ran off with her and got her pregnant, and that was one of the most painful things I heard clean, I think. And and I hated this dude, and he hated me, and like his sponsor, I was like, I had the same sponsor as his sponsor, and like one day I get this message from this dude on Facebook that I hated, and he's like, well, my sponsor told me to ask 10 people about my assets, and he told me to ask someone I hate, so I'm asking you. And I was like, wow, that's tactful. Good for you. And, you could have left the ask someone you hate part out. And and like my initial reaction, of course, was F you. Or like dude was saying last night, baseball bat. You know what I mean? And I had spent some meetings sitting there the whole meeting, like, got to keep my butt glued to the chair. Keep my butt glued to the chair because he was there and I just wanted to mark him. And so I took some time. I took a week and I was like, and it was just the timing. And I don't want to go too deep into it because it's a lot of nine-step stuff, like what I could do to make amends to that girl, because this is this girl's baby's father. And but anyway, I came to the decision, like, the best thing that can happen for the group, because my sponsor always bangs that second tradition, like it's always about the group. God takes care of the group. Play your part. And I was like, the best thing for the group is if this kid can stay clean. And he's on his fourth step, which is amazing. It was amazing to me when I got the anger and the self-centeredness and the self-will out of the way. I was like, this is amazing. This kid's doing this, and he had the guts to do this for me. So I responded and I told him what I saw, like a man that I probably spent the last 18 months before that with telling you I hate. If I had the chance, like, I told him what I saw in him that was good, and I ended up sponsoring that kid for a little bit. I heard a fifth step where a lot of it was about me. And so much healing, so much regret and pain, and just wiped out, so much healing. You know, and it all just started with that decision that I'm going to live the spiritual life, this principled life. What's the principled thing to do? And I don't know, just recently, like, my sponsor always talks about, like, relationship with God. You know, when I first started, like, working the 11th step, he's like, it's like a relationship with a girl you like. Mm-hmm. There's a girl you like, you try to talk to her all the time, right? Like, just do that. And that's what I did, you know what I mean? And, like, the longer I stay clean, the more I see it's, like, a relationship. Because, like, then he'd start saying things to me, like, you know, he's married. He's like, I'm committed to my wife, so can I stay committed even when it doesn't feel good? Like, that's the question. Like, I had a lot of moments with the third step, you know what I mean, when I first started working it. But, like, the longer I stay clean and, like, life gets real, man. Like, life gets really real. Like, it's about can I stay committed even when it doesn't feel good. And, like, probably in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I just stopped screaming at God. I spent like a good 4 or 5 days just MFing God. And like, God, in my understanding, is okay with it. I think it deals with bigger things than just me, so it can take that. But, I mean, I was screaming. I was in so much pain. Just, being self-centered is what it came down to. Like, my sponsor told me that, and I was like, dude, if anyone else told me that right now, I'd kill them. But I'll take that from you. And like, you know, just dealing with some past pains. And it wasn't even happened to me. It's just someone I love, like, and care about so much. Like, just like I said, the weight of what happens to us in addiction has really been coming down on me. And, like, you know, so angry. And, like, the whole belief I had about God, see the beginning and all that stuff, like, just wasn't working. So back to the second step, you know what I mean? Really back to the first step. Like, we're addicts. Like, this is what happens to us. It's unmanageable. I can't change what the disease of addiction does to someone. So, like, I dug into what do I believe now. I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. So, as mad as I was, angry as I was, I didn't stop answering the phone when people called. I didn't stop calling my sponsor. I didn't stop praying, even though my praying was yelling. Because my sponsor told me any praying is good praying. It doesn't matter if you're screaming or not. You know? And I made that decision. I'm going to trust recovery. You know? And, like, I've seen too many miracles and coincidences, like, you know, and it talks in the second step, like, as we see those, like, our acceptance turns into trust. Like, our acceptance that there might be something better turns into trust, and I'm just slowly starting to get back in that trust with God. Like, my prayer life has been very different right now, but I'm staying committed to it. And like I said, when that doesn't work, I stay committed to that spiritual principle life, you know, and, like, looking at the good. You know what I mean? Working on my perspective. Like, because for everything this person's been through, like, I look at our lives now and it's amazing, you know? It's amazing where we come from, where we're at today. And, like, it's just been a tough year, man. I buried a sponsee this year. Oh. You want to talk about powerless? This kid, between his father, who just passed, he was sick, and like, his mom told me, like, this is going to be too much for him. He's not going to make it. He lasted about a month or two after his son died, and he died. Between his father, his mother, and his stepfather, 75 years clean. And this kid could not stay clean. And his house is full of recovery. And everybody loved this kid. I mean, everybody in recovery loved this kid since he was a little kid. Like, he knew where it was at, but he would get clean, and he just couldn't turn the fucking noise off in his head. And he would tell me, he's like, I know I can't use it. I know it doesn't work, but what if I don't care, Phil? And I just keep telling him, dude, that's just that disease thinking. Don't buy the hype in your head. You know what I mean? Like, that's where our disease lives. There's no, like, push-ups in the parking lot. I wish I had that much space between me and the disease of addiction. But, like, I tell him, you don't have to. And, like, and he died. And I'm sitting there, like, listening to his mom say, like, at least he's at peace now. He can never find peace here. And I was like, and that's where I started, like, getting mad at the whole universe thing and, like, not accepting the disease of addiction, not accepting all the trouble it brings, you know what I mean? Like, the self-acceptance IP talks about that, like, we have to accept the disease and all the trouble it brings, and it involves, like, loving people and losing them, man, but, like, that's the price I pay, like, if I want the life I lead, and I want it, man, I don't want to go back to active using anymore, like, I don't want to go back to operating under my own power, my own belief system without Narcotics Anonymous, because it's just nasty, dude, I turned so nasty, and, like, he died. My other friend almost died this year and, like, started using and is using still. And, like, you know, just a lot of sadness this year. You know, social acceptability is not equal recovery, I guess, because, like, you look at my life and, like, we rent this really nice house and I have a car and a job, and, like, I go do things and go to California and I go to this little camp out like this on the beach, though. Much where I'd much rather be, yes. That's right, Vic. And I do these things and they're great, and I see all these good things in my life, you know, and, like, but I've been kind of backing away, like, spiritually, and I'm just trying to get there again. I'm staying committed regardless of how I feel, you know what I mean? It's like they tell us when we first get here, just hold on. Just hold on. No matter what happens, just hold on. Keep doing what we have to do, and, like, you know, that's a lot for just the first three steps, but, like, the longer I stay clean, like, everything deepens, and, like, you know, the 11th step told me, like, my surrender has to deepen from what it was in the third step. I made my absolute best surrender in the third step. So, like, I just said that, and if you haven't worked your third step yet, like, don't fiend it and be like, well, I'll save it for later, better surrender. Like, no, just don't tell your sponsor that I told you to do that. But it just, everything deepens, you know what I mean? I'm here to tell you, like, dude, I mean, I've spent some times, like, almost crying at work, and I work union construction, and those dudes do not want to see me cry, and, like, that's just the amount of pain I've been in. And I've been in pain, I've been angry, but I haven't checked out, you know. I got my home group, it's Need a Miracle group, it's in Avalon, if anybody knows what that is. It's kind of North Pittsburgh, up 65. Someone spoke at our anniversary right here, and we're fun, we're laid back, come check us out. And like, I go there, and like, I answer my phone, and I continue to pray, continue to just work on my relationship with a higher power, whether that's this relationship or this relationship. Continue to stay willing to change, to apply steps in my life, to seek what's best for me at that point in time of recovery. What's good for one phase might not necessarily be good for another. I'm just staying open to that change. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness are huge, and all three of the first steps. And that's what I do. And like, look, I've been in pain, like I said, but like, I haven't lost that gratitude, and I haven't lost the belief that I'm going to be okay. Like, this is going to pass. People go through way worse things than I go through, and stay clean. And like, if you're new here, like, we never have to use again. And this program is so simple. It's a set of principles written so simply we can live them in our daily lives. And my sponsor always tells me that. They're simple, just the change that happens is deep. But don't worry too much about the change, because we're not in charge of our change internally, just externally. We change the outside, and the rest of us falls, right? That's what it says. You know what I mean? We don't think our way into it. We act our way into it. And we never have to use again. As much pain as I was in, I did not think one time about using drugs, you know? A thought crossed my mind, and I was like, yeah, that'll fix it. Yeah, that'll be good. And, you know, like, I never could imagine my life would be where it is. I had no idea what was wrong with me when I got here besides the drug use. And, like, that's fine. And I made it through fine. And, like, got to a point where, like, I built that foundation, and now, like, I can handle these things as they come up. So, like, I don't want people to think, like, I'm saying I'm crazier the longer I've been clean, because that's not true. I just thaw out more. But the more I thaw out, like, the longer I've been clean, the more ability I have to deal with these things. So it's okay. You know what I mean? It's all proportionate. And I just want to thank y'all for being here. And, again, if you're new, if you're struggling, you don't have to use. You know what I mean? It all started, like I said, when I said, no matter what, I'm not going to use today. And then on the second part, you know, the second part of that first step, like I said, I don't know how to stay clean, so I'm going to ask people for help. I'm going to just take that help they give me. You know what I mean? That's the beginning of the first three steps, you know. If you want to sound, and I tell that people when we work steps, the first three steps, I was like, do you want to be able to sound fancy, or do you want to be able to stay clean? Because I'll teach you how to sound fancy at a meeting. If you want to sound real deep about the third step, but remember, there's nine more after it. And they all get better and better, and like our understanding of each step deepens as we move forward. And I don't know, just thank you guys for being here. I hope you really enjoy this weekend. And just if you get a minute, man, just look around, and like, if you have a quiet moment, just think about where you were, like your last week of addiction. You know, maybe close your eyes if you have to visualize it. Just think about it, and then like, open your eyes and look around you and see where you are now. You know what I mean? It's a huge difference. It really, really is. And just enjoy it, even if it's just for a couple minutes today, you know. And have fun. I'm going to have a frisbee up there if anybody wants to play. Got a hacky sack. And I'm ready to go. So, I don't know. Thanks, guys. That's all I got.